January is a time when we often do a restart in our lives, and in spite of all the misery in the world and in our communities right now, we have the opportunity to be the light catchers, the doers and reflectors of good deeds, to create beauty and compassion, kindness and courage in our own little parts of the world. Today we're going to look at four questions. I recently moved and I got rid of a lot of my CDs, but I found for $5 on Facebook Marketplace a nice rack for the rest of the CDs that I have that I put right in front of my CD player, and now I'm actually playing the CDs. And one of them was the 2007 General Assembly, is that what it's called? And Robert Fulghum was the speaker. Robert Fulghum, as you may remember, wrote the book, All I Need to Know I Learned in Kindergarten, thank you. And he asked four questions, and I thought they were very good questions for this time of year, so I'm going to bounce off that. And he framed them in the light of an angry parent, a parent who's upset about something his child just did, so I'm going to start it with that and then take it off in my own direction. So if you're a parent or you've had a parent or you've watched a parent lose it, that's where I'm coming from. What on earth have you done? Anybody ever heard that or said that? Or never was going to say it and then did? So George is going to put a picture up on the screen. I was about 8, and there was a house being built just down the street. And I used to go down and just play in the dirt and talk to the builders and generally enjoy myself, and they enjoyed having me around, I think. And one day, when they had all left, I noticed in the garage there was this big bathtub full of wet plaster. And I got an idea, and I thought, I'll just write something on the wall, and they'll come tomorrow and look at it and laugh and plaster over it, right? So I wrote, Lee Simpson loves Doug Rattray. Well, the next day, midday, a policeman showed up at our door. And he said, does anybody know Lee Simpson or Douglas Rattray? And my father said, Barbara. Do you know anything about this? And I confessed. Well, you know, my idea was that they'd take it as a joke and they'd plaster over it. I didn't know I'd been a bad girl. Anyway, I was marched down there, and Ziggy, this new immigrant to Canada, I lived in Ontario at that time, Ziggy looked at me and with the most hurt look on his face said, I never thought my little friend would do something like that. I felt terrible. And of course, I didn't have a voice. I couldn't say, but I thought you were going to plaster it over. I'm sorry. I just was silent. I don't remember the punishment that was meted out that day, but nothing could compare to the shame and sorrow that I felt in losing that relationship with that person that had been a very kind person to me. Oh, and by the way, they used to throw their pop bottles out in the dirt, and I would collect those and go and get the 2 cents for them, which actually meant something in those days. Anyway, I learned several lessons that day. One was, don't do something with somebody else's stuff unless you've asked permission. It's kind of obvious. I learned not to mock my two friends. And I have to tell you that Douglas Rattray didn't smell very good, and he didn't come from anywhere that any of the rest of us lived. We didn't really know where he lived. And as I think back to it, there was an edge of nastiness or cruelty in that comment. I learned to take responsibility for the mistakes that I made or what I had done. And those lessons are not lost on me. And honestly, I'll never forget Ziggy's words or the look on his face. He did go on, this new immigrant, he did go on to build a huge construction empire, for which I'm glad, and that's an aside. The second question, so that's the one in the past. This one is in the present. What in the name of God are you doing? Or something like that. So as we grow in years and wisdom, we deal with bigger issues, and hopefully we've learned from our mistakes of the past. Our values are refined, and we discover what we hold sacred. From 1967 to 2008, alcohol sales in Linden were forbidden on Sunday. It was challenged at the city council in 2008. They discussed whether the community's values and character might be damaged, and whether the conservative Christian population in the town might be adversely affected. Some of the people who belonged to those rather rigid churches, including some of the ministers, fought valiantly against it. Well, during that battle, my friend, who was a United Methodist minister, was in a little store outside of the city limits on Sunday, and one of those very same vociferous ministers that had been arguing against liquor on Sunday was buying a bottle of liquor. Which leads me to the second question. What in the name of God are you doing? By that time, he should be living his values, right? Especially if he's a minister. But certainly in that moment, truth and integrity were not among his values. In the end, the majority decided that a one-day-a-week ban in Linden didn't make any sense, and it was revoked. Our third question, again thinking of the frustrated parent, what will you think of next? I guess Fulgham was quite an active child. Well, you will relate to this story. Mayor Jill Boudreau watched people's faces during a meeting in Mount Vernon and Skagit Valley as they heard the cost estimate for a new city library and community center. It was about $48 million at the time, and I understand it's about $53 million now. The people looked so defeated, but Boudreau wouldn't take never for an answer. She said, "When I hear that, it's a challenge. And besides, our community deserves it." Some worried about the cost of the new library and were worried about their taxes going up. So Boudreau, nearly single-handedly, made sure the city would get the money for the commons without raising taxes, writing 38 separate grants. The center should be finished this year. Boudreau did more than reshape Mount Vernon's downtown with an impressive new public building. Those who worked with her said that she also reformed City Hall culture, bringing women and people of different backgrounds to the table by listening weekly to the public and knocking on doors to meet others and creating the most diverse city council in Mount Vernon city history. She broke a mold by being very pro-community, pro-education, pro-empower women. She also led the way when the bridge was damaged by the truck that was too high and crashed into the top of the bridge by working with the mayor of Burlington to find ways to reroute the traffic until the bridge could be repaired. Boudreau has retired as mayor after three terms, but she isn't done with city business yet. As you probably know, she's going to go through the completion of the building of the center and the library. And she will continue with various other projects. And her parting advice to the new mayor, talk to each other. Seek to understand each other. Our city team has proven we can do the right things. And as for the weekly coffee talks that she held, Mayor Donovan said, "I'm absolutely bringing them back." That's good news. So that's the what will you do next? You can imagine the values that Mayor Boudreau had that caused her to do the things that she has done for your city. Fulton's final question, and he framed this in a story that he told at General Assembly about a mother that he saw dropping off a child, and evidently the child had done something in the car before he got out of the car to go to school. And he went around to talk to the mother to see if he could help, and she was banging her fists on the steering wheel and crying and bashing her head on the steering wheel, and he thought, this isn't a good time for this stranger to go and talk to her. And so his final question is, who do you think you are? You can imagine that mother in her anger coming up with that. Well, Fulton talks about a man called Alexander Papageros. Who could have imagined that a broken piece of mirror or a single human being could have such an impact as these two situations? Alexander Papageros was born on the island of Crete during the Second World War, where his hometown was ravaged by the Nazis, and Alexander, still a child, was interned in a concentration camp. After the war, he was determined to be a force for peace and forgiveness. He studied theology, and in 1965, opened an institute designed to promote peace and reconciliation. One day, he was giving a presentation where Robert Fulton was attending, and he asked if there were any questions at the end, and nobody asked a question. So Robert Fulton said, what's the meaning of life? And Papageros, not to be thrown off, reached into his wallet, pulled out a little piece of mirror, and held it up for everyone to see. During the war, he was just a little boy when there was a motorcycle that crashed very close to the cave where he was living at the moment. They wrecked, the two German soldiers were killed, and the motorcycle was kind of all over the road. He picked up this tiny little piece of mirror, the biggest piece that he could find. He didn't have any toys, and that became his toy. And one of the things that he discovered was by shining the mirror in a certain direction, he could direct it into dark holes and caves and under things. He was fascinated by the way he could shine that light into those dark places. And over time, that became a metaphor for his life. So in answer to that question about the meaning of life, he said, I am a fragment of a mirror whose whole design and shape I do not know. Nevertheless, with what I have, I can reflect light into the dark places of this world and into the black places in the hearts of humans and change some things in some people. Perhaps others may see this and do likewise. This is what I am about. This is the meaning of my life. And the last photograph. Today, tomorrow, we celebrate the birthday and the life of Martin Luther King. He was one of those who picked up the light and left a legacy, shining it into the dark places. He brought nonviolent protest to an issue that had been the norm in the South for generations, racism. He opposed violence, but he was powerful. He built networks of like-minded people. He spoke the truth, and the truth reverberates down through the centuries, setting people free personally and institutionally. Like a healthy tree rooted in truth, righteousness, and justice, it has branched out, creating an ever more equal society where all people, black and white, and of all races, can be accepted as one united people. No, we're not there yet. But we have come so far on that long arc of the moral universe that he talked about. And the energy that comes from his truth-telling and righteousness will continue to bend our society to justice for generations to come. This is who he was. So, four questions. What have you done? What are you doing? What will you think of next? And who do you think you are? Good questions to ponder as we look at our place in the world for the coming years. Amen and blessed be.